Do computers yearn deep down to have their poetry published in literary journals? These are among the mysteries of a project curated by computational biologist Carmel Allison, the only human on staff at her literary magazine called Curated AI. That AI stands for artificial intelligence. Allison's poets are machines that write original works based on what they've learned about the habits and styles of other human writers. High-tech plagiarism? Or is this stuff any good? More important, can readers tell the difference?
There's quite a bit of range. There's the, you know, completely quoting things that exist on the internet, but in a new format. And on the other side, trying to write machines that actually write literature, having learned something about language. There's a specific type of machine learning model that can be trained on any different, you know, different sets of literature, different sets of poetry, and can from there generate new sentences or new statements using this set of words and this set of learned information.
I am dead. For I was not a woman to keep the man in. My own love, I could be your life. The light falls on her hands, with the light from a mother's eye, from a glance.
That's from C-Word by a computer, Deep Gimbal. It is kind of amazing. I can't tell if it's telling me something about the computer or telling me something about my brain.
Right, right. Well, it's, you know, I guess from the postmodern perspective, literature and poetry is all about interpretation anyways, right? We should never be asking what the author's intent is. And this is the sort of the extreme version of that, where the author in this case is a machine and doesn't necessarily have intent. Any meaning that we read into this is coming from us, from you. And that gives it it makes you much more aware of what we're doing when we're reading literature and when we're reading poems like this.
Computer by a roadside in the river where you go back into houses of sand as I do in a valley of wood with my garden. I am a small man who is the first, the same of your body. I really like that. That scares me that I really like that. I really like that, though. That's great.
Yeah, right. So that's, you know, it evokes something, you know, it evokes emotion, even though the thing creating it has necessarily no emotion in creating it.
What example is something that really just sort of took your breath away?
There was one machine that has published a piece of prose. The machine was called Tolstoyish, and it was trained on some group of works from Leo Tolstoy.
The children cried with the sound of their hoofs. The inspector and his hostess.
It sounds shockingly like Tolstoy.
The whole business is not the case, he added to the officer, and his face expressed that he was very much interested.
It doesn't really make sense in a certain way.
But the chief cause of this interview had come into a new life. He had to find a certain possible right.
But still, it sounds a lot like Tolstoy. That to me was really neat, and that was, you know, a nice proof of concept that we as human beings have personality and that Tolstoy has a unique sound that is different from others, but also that we can begin to imitate and regenerate that using machine learning. Like, well, you can, in theory, have a conversation between, a Tolstoy machine and, you know, another author of your choice. And where could we go with that? You know, interesting things to explore from a literary perspective using machines as proxies.
Well, there's a radio show. Edgar Allan Poe and Charles Dickens. Is this reassuring that you've done this, or is this just terrifying?
To me, it's reassuring because the joy of it is the human aspect, right? And so to me, it speaks of the collaborative nature of human and machine learning. You know, I'm not worried that a machine will take my theoretical job as a poet. I don't get paid to be a poet. But if I did, I wouldn't be worried that a machine would take my job yet, because, you know, it's empty without the human element.
What's the mission for the software designers who are working on this kind of AI to have some level of interaction, some, you know, it's got to go beyond learning somehow.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, I think it varies, obviously. I think for a lot of people, the goal is to, you know, this is sort of the, this is a toy problem in a sense, but if you can train a machine to write poetry or write literature, that's very similar to training a machine that can interact with a human being, right? That can understand language well enough that it can ask and answer questions and that it can be informative. There are definitely applications that go beyond, well, this is fun and it's literature. And, you know, I think those, you know, somewhere in that spectrum is what's driving a lot of different authors.
That's just amazing. Has the computer spit out anything that seemed almost plagiarism?
Yes. There's a sense that, you know, nothing is new under the sun, right? This I was playing with this actually at the same time that the whole Melania Trump scandal was going down. And it's like, well, you know, there are only so many ways to form a platitude, right? So what can you do? Authors have similar ways of constructing things because we read things in a certain way and we like to hear things in a certain way, and there's familiarity that is part of what grabs us. One of the lines you read, the sun shines bright on her lips, that may exist in poetry somewhere. It's familiar enough, and it could have been written by a human being.
Well, the high bar here, it seems, is that you submit one or two of your poems to the New Yorker.
Right. Yeah. So I've submitted poems that I've written in the past to the New Yorker and never gotten in. So my secret goal is eventually I'll get one of these published in the New Yorker without them knowing. And then that is, you know, we've passed the Turing test, at least for poetry, right?
You're very devilish. Not a speck of morality in her at all, but that's great. Well, Carmel Allison, fascinating project, and thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.